wanna be that eloquent smoker with a shirt that's...
This is Mary Jane from PiratePods.com, and I'm on the phone with...
Slim Twig from Toronto. I'm a musician, based out of Toronto.
I don't wanna be the man that broke her. I wanna be the eloquent smoker with a shirt that's patched so white that you can't see nothing but my white winged light. I don't wanna be the man that broke her. I wanna be that eloquent smoker with a shoe so fat and sharp that you can't hear nothing but the shriek of a heart. I don't wanna be the man.
So how would you describe a Slim Twig experience?
Well, I think the interesting thing about my project is that the experience recorded is pretty different from the live experience. I'm pretty much the only person who plays on my recordings. I play a variety of instruments, and live I have a band together. We try to bring in an energetic performance, but I guess the thing that ties them together is that it's kind of playful but dark at the same time in both arenas, and so I think that's an interesting contrast that we try to develop.
Is it hard to transition from writing the music by yourself to having other people playing on stage with you?
It's not hard. I like to give the guys... I play with Jesse James Latter, is another musician from Toronto who plays drums and guitar, and Sienna DeCampo plays organ with us. And in Toronto, we play with another guy, Tillman, who's on cello. And I like to give everyone who plays with me a degree of freedom so that they enjoy what they're doing on stage and are bringing their own flavor to the live setting, which just makes it more exciting for me because, you know, there's a degree of kind of surprise that comes with the songs that just makes it more exciting for me to perform. So I find it an exciting challenge.
Would you ever want to record a live performance so that you get that element out there?
Yeah, we've recorded live performances before to get a taste for it. But basically, I don't know if I would release any of that stuff just because I think the music that I do is very particular to how it's recorded, and the actual process of the recording is plays a large part in the song itself. So that, you know, when we do record it, it's just kind of more of out of curiosity to hear what we sound like live.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed on your website another press person sort of made this connection, but I couldn't help but notice that you have a slight hint of Elvis Presley in your appearance and even in your singing style. So I was wondering, when you're on stage, do you have any of the dancing gyrations?
Yeah, I'm definitely a disciple of Presley, and in that, you know, I adore him and his music. And also, just in that, I like to have a performance be exciting and be just that, a performance, not just a thing where I show up and play the songs exactly as they sound and sing, you know, the exact lyrics exactly as they are on record. I like to, there's a degree of improvisation and a degree of, I'm an actor as well, so I like to bring a little bit of theatricality to the live setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously it's impossible, but if you had the chance to sit down with him, is there something you'd like to ask?
I'm not sure that there is. I kind of like Elvis as the mystery that he is to me, and, I like looking at old photos of him and feeling as if I might know what he's like, but then really not at all, because what I've seen is only what was presented to the public, and I kind of like that. Oftentimes when you meet people, it's a little bit disappointing.
Right.
I don't know, he's been a big influence on me, so I wouldn't want to be disappointed, and I just like the idea of him being sort of mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like you mentioned, you're an actor, and you acted in the film The Tracy Fragments. I'm wondering, if the roles were reversed and there were a Slim Twig film, what would the central conflict be, and how would it end?
Well, I've often toyed with the idea. It's kind of a theme that runs through a lot of my songs, and that's the idea of men who are kind of a little bit depraved. I'm not personally. I don't like to think so, but depraved men doing bad things and kind of getting away with it, not only just in not being caught, but in their conscience, you know, feeling okay about that, or just the conflict of whether or not they feel okay about that. I think that's a theme that runs through many of my lyrics. So, you know, I've imagined that that kind of premise would make a pretty good film as well. Mm-hmm. Crossed my mind.
Okay.
And I also really enjoy playing those kind of characters. Like, the character in Tracy Fragments isn't exactly a super nice guy or anything, and I kind of get a thrill both in acting and in the songs playing bad people.
Okay. If your music were translated into a physical object, what would it be and why?
I think it would be some kind of strange piece of metal found in a junkyard that you wouldn't quite know what its purpose was or what its function, but you wouldn't be able to throw it out because there would be something intriguing about it, even though you wouldn't have a purpose for it. So it would kind of just sit on your mantle or something like that.
Please let me assemble, please crown me. Drugged and unlikely, while they gaze at the sight of me. Oh, I've been seen at that saw. I ate from the trough. I'm nauseous, I twitch, and I stammer. Oh, lower your hammer. I stammer. Please lower your hammer. Please cough me.
When you listen to or when you're writing music, are you more drawn to the lyrics or the actual music?
When I listen to music, I'm more drawn to the sonic elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of experimental music, which tends to be oftentimes instrumental. So that's kind of where my taste lies a little bit, although I'm a huge fan of pop music, particularly the kind of stranger side of pop music, which is kind of where I want to position myself. And I am a really big fan of lyrics, though, particularly when they're well written. And I think, you know, some of my biggest influences have been people who are really great lyricists as well. And I certainly take maybe a little bit more pride in my lyrics than the sonics of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I place a lot of, it's not even so much that I place a lot of effort in it, but I take pride in creating unique stories.
Right. Is there one aspect that's easier to write than the other?
Like music or lyrics?
Right.
No, I'm not sure if one is easier than the other. I think the lyrics can be a little bit more frustrating than writing music, because the process that I use is I don't try to write about anything topically. I like to have images kind of just come to me and be faithful to them, even if I don't quite comprehend them.
Mm-hmm.
So when images aren't coming, or if I'm not hearing words that intrigue me, which is another kind of technique that I use, is just if I hear a word that sounds good to me, I'll try and write a lyric around it. If those things aren't occurring, then that's very frustrating. Whereas with the music, I think I can get into a zone with it, maybe a little bit easier,
mm-hmm.
more easily.
Well, you're also in the group Tropics. How does that project relate or differ to your solo work?
Well, it differs in that it's a collaboration with a really talented musician, Simone. And we're Slim Twig, at least recorded, is really not a collaboration at all. It's very much my vision and my project for kind of exploring ideas. It's really a conceptual project. Every song is kind of like, I like to think of every song as a little mini art installation that, you know, relies on certain ideas to tick properly, whereas Tropics is more of kind of it's less cerebral, it's a little bit more visceral, a little bit more to the point, and is a collaboration.
Well, I've been watching the music videos you have posted for your Slim Twig work, and I noticed that your music translates really well into abstract and sort of avant-garde visuals. And I know you just said that you're inspired by visuals and you try to incorporate that. Is that something that you're consciously trying to relate into your music?
Yeah. I mean, the songs are, I try to make them, it's less about narrative. Like, you know, you have a song, you know, Bob Dylan is the classic example of a narrative songwriter who literally tells a very specific story as if you were reading a script or something. Where my lyrics and music are a little bit more imagistic, I think, as if you're looking at photographs instead of like a story. So you're not exactly sure of the context, but mm-hmm. you can kind of grasp certain images, and together they piece together kind of more of an oblique narrative than a direct one. So I think I'm really inspired by a lot of images, and I think that quality in my music relates itself very well to interpretation visually.
Are you interested in working in other visual art outlets?
Yeah, I like to be creative all the time and always thinking of new ideas. That's kind of what I enjoy best. It's not specific, any specific art form. Although actually, that's not true. I enjoy doing music the most, but I really enjoy just coming up with ideas. So I do like all the artwork for the Slim Twig and most of it for Tropics I do myself. And you know, film is a very visual medium, and I'm an actor currently, but I have aspirations to maybe do other things in that regard. I'm just really open to any ideas and collaborations with anyone whose ideas I think are strong as well. So I could definitely see myself dabbling in other areas. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've noticed lately that there's been sort of a retro comeback of the cassette tape. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that, and which musical device do you think provides the best atmosphere for listening?
I'm not sure if it's like a, well, maybe it is a comeback in some places, but, you know, in some musical communities, I don't think it ever went away. Like, a lot of kind of noise-based musics or more kind of art-based musics have always used tape as a medium, and I mean, it's not something that I have a huge interest in. I don't really think about it too much, but I think it's an interesting concept. I don't really care how people hear my music, as long as it's heard. So, you know, be it digitally or on a cassette, I don't really much care from that perspective. Personally, I think that vinyl is pretty great just because of the artwork being so big, and I like that kind of tactile thing about having a record, and so that'd be my preferred medium. But yeah, as long as good music is being heard, I don't really care how it's done.
What are you looking forward to coming up?
Well, I have my first official full-length album coming out in 2009, which is really exciting for me, and I'm just finishing the kind of final touches on that in the coming months. So that, to me, is kind of taking up a lot of brain space.
Are you going to be releasing it on vinyl?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, I always close out my interviews with the same three really quick questions.
Okay.
And the first is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Slang terms?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to admit, I listen to a little too much Wu-Tang Clan. So I'm known to try and talk a little bit like Ghostface Killa when I'm among, you know, close friends. So I probably wouldn't do it in an interview, but
okay.
That would be my slang, ripping off Wu-Tang.
All right, and what's your drink of choice?
I'm thoroughly a beer drinker. I like most darker ales from the UK.
Okay. And how do you feel about eyeliner?
Eyeliner?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Elvis used eyeliner, so I'm down with it.
Down, down, down. love me at all. The train track coming to blood, blood. Not strong myself, all I strong myself. I'm for you. So kiss me and kiss me and kiss only me.